Fancy meeting you here. Oh, it's your favorite place to be also. Oh, okay. I'm excited to be up here this evening, brethren, to encourage and exhort. It's an amazing thing to be at the Lord's table. It's even more amazing to have the plan and the pattern with which he brought it together, being preached in solid truth. I appreciate that, David, in your honesty. As most of you know, I'm a pretty nuts and bolts type of guy. Not much of what I'm going to bring forth most of the time up here is going to be anything new. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I'm not the dullest one either, so that's a good thing. I'm not going to be coming up with some new material typically, but you know what I am good at is I can reproduce and I can copy what's been proven. And that's no imitation. It's the real thing. So, what's been on my mind lately is the pattern that we've been given. And through a study that we've been involved with for quite some time now is with Keisha, and we're going through the study of Christ Church. And so a lot of this has been on my mind. I hope to do a multiple part message that I won't be able to get it all in tonight, but the primary focus for tonight will be the one church. And this is key, brethren. The idea that there's one church is really being attacked. And so we need to be serious. This is a serious topic. So I'm going to rapid fire through a lot of scripture in a classroom type format. So I apologize for that. And I will try not to get derailed, and I will not do any impressions or imitations. I'll try not to. Turn to 1 Timothy, if you would. Chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2 in verse 1. First of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator also between God and men, that man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. So again, my hope is to communicate that there is one church. There's one true church, yet many imposters. Jesus himself warned in Matthew 24, many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. So what we'll look at tonight is that Scripture is quite clear. There is one church. And that Jesus, who is Christ, is the head of it. But for now, let's go to a communication with headquarters real quick. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we know that you are the eternal sovereign God. That there are no other gods before you. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. For all things are in subjection to you as you are creator of all things. Father, we're so very grateful for this pattern that we have before us. This map, if you will, that we can follow. We can know exactly what you expect of us. We can know exactly how to be saved. And we can know and have full confidence in our leader, Jesus, who is Christ, the head and the cornerstone of the church. Father, we thank you and praise you in his name for the example that he has given us, that He has called us out. He has given us this commission. And He's given us everything that we need to carry out His plan. So we thank You for Jesus, the anchor to our souls. If He hadn't done what He's done on our behalf, Father, we would not be here right now. So we have all thanks and praise to give to Him. Father, I pray that as we look into the Word, as we look into this pattern, that we would be fully attentive and that we would take in seriously the commands that You have given us and the directions that You leave us. We thank You in all things and give grace and thanks to Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. So there's many false religions out there, and many of them will say that Jesus was, well, He was merely just a prophet, not a Savior. Others will say that He is the head of the church, but there's further revelation from heaven. There's further revelation from the descendant of the Apostle Peter, in that he and the church tradition are as equal authority as Christ's teachings. That's all completely false. It's all completely false according to the one true Lord. Turn to Matthew 16, if you would. Now, many people will say that when you try to tell them that there's one church, a lot of things are said. One of them is that, well, you're in a cult. If Jesus Christ is the leader of the cult, I'm in. Because like David said, I don't really care what you say, I care what He's said. In Matthew 16, verse 18, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Excuse me, whose church? This is Jesus speaking here. He said, build My church. It's Christ's church. He is the chief cornerstone, and He is the head. There's no other way to be saved. Make no mistake. And brethren, I know that a lot of us, we've heard this many, many times, but until we can take this and teach it to somebody else, we still need to keep learning. Okay? Because this is one of the main things that you will come across when you're out there talking to people. Okay? So, it's His church, it says and let me ask you a question. Is there, let me ask you this question. Is there any way that when Jesus spoke these words to Peter, could it have been something like this? I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church. Is that possible? Okay. Because a lot of people will say that Peter was the descendant of Peter is who the church is built on. That's false, brethren. We know that. We know that other areas of Scripture cannot be broken, cannot be ignored. And there are other pieces of Scripture that we're going to look at that says, no, Christ is the head of the church. Christ is who the church is built on. Please turn with me to Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, we get another look here in verse 11. It says, He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is no salvation, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. It's Jesus. Now then, to better understand that the church belongs to Jesus, let's investigate this word church then. The word church that is commonly used out there in people's conversation is translated from the Greek word ekklesia, which is the literal meaning is those called out. Okay? So, where do we see that in Scripture? Well, let's turn to Matthew 28. We'll take a look at some words of Jesus again. And most of us know that this is a popular piece of scripture that in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus commanded his people saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven," in verse 18. "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them, immersing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He said, go. Okay, so who's he talking to? His disciples, right? He's telling them to go. So the called out, right? Okay. So two things. First, all authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and on earth. Okay, he's the man. He's the head. Not some descendant of Peter or somebody else. Secondly, he sent them out. So, we know who he's sending out because it says in verse 16 that it's his disciples. The original 11, the apostles essentially. Okay? So, the sent out. So, let's look at a few other scriptural definitions for the word church. And we can't talk about the church and not go to Hebrews chapter 12. Again. But, brethren, I don't know if it's occurred to you, but it has to me that I think I understand the reason why Kevin likes this verse so much. It's packed full of goodies. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. But now this is important. "But you have come to Mount Zion." Already there. It's already been done. "And to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels." Verse 23. "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn." Brethren, who's the firstborn? Jesus. Who's the general assembly and church? Those sent out. Brethren, have you been sent out? Christian, have you been sent out? Are you the church? Church of the firstborn? Enrolled in heaven and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant? There are other scriptures that will connect two words, church and body. They're synonymous. Ephesians 1. Turn there if you would. Ephesians 1, verse 22. More proof, more evidence. "And he put all things in subjection subjection under his feet," that being Jesus, "and gave him as head over all things to the church, his body," I'm sorry, the literal, "which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Again, the church is equated to the body of Christ, okay? So the two are synonymous. So, how does one know that they are a part of the body of Christ then? Well, hopefully in a study before this, you've already gone through the plan of salvation with someone. But we know that Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, "Repent and each of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Have you done that? Have you not? There's your answer. There's more to it, but this is the quick and simple here. Also combined with Romans 8, verse 9, it says that if the Spirit of Christ is not in you, you do not belong to Him. There's a couple of quick checks for you if you're in the body of Christ. There's more to that, and I would encourage you to study that out if you haven't. He wants more support? Let's turn to John chapter 3. I know this is really, again, this is repetitive for many of us and can seem a little dry, but brethren, this is important. We have to be able to lay this out for people. John chapter 3, most of us know, Jesus teaches in verse 5, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Fits in pretty nicely with Acts chapter 2:38 and Romans 8, verse 9. Spirit and water. Okay? So you can know if you are in the body of Christ. You can be certain with all confidence. So the body consists of those two who belong to Him. Those who have been immersed in the water and to receive the... to have their sins remitted and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, okay, now let's think back to 1 Timothy, when we read that Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. There's one mediator between God and us. Isn't that what we read? Yeah? And He knows? Okay, everyone's paying attention. Good. Turn to chapter 9 of Hebrews. In verse 24. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he would offer himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. The church is the body of Christ. Christ, who is the one and only mediator between the church and God, is Christ. He appeared in the presence of God for us. He is the mediator. Another question for you. Can there be other churches? Can there be other bodies other than Christ's if He's the one mediator? If His Spirit is the one Spirit that must reside in us in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, can there be any other bodies other than Christ's? No. You see, you start to nail people down on Scripture. If they're honest, they're going to see this picture coming clearer and clearer. Now again, that's only powerful if these words are powerful to them. So hopefully you've already done a proof study. It's been said often that the proof study is the most important study. Why is that? If I don't believe this is true, then your point that you're making really isn't going to hold water. Because at any point I could say, well, you know, this has to be true and this has to be real. In our study with Logan and Lacey, we've stressed that point over and over again. If this is not real, you can say that you believe in God. You can say that you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. When the storms of life come knocking and rocking, if this isn't real, you're not going to stand on it. So that is powerful and important. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. Here's the clincher. There is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one immersion. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Brethren, is one one? Or is one many? Because, I don't know, some people will make it more. I don't know. Many people will try to say that there are many different rooms in God's house, but it's still God's house. Other people will say God has paved many roads, and they all lead to heaven. Just get on a road. No. Bunk. They're not being honest with the Scriptures. You need more proof? John chapter 10. Coming from Jesus Himself. The one mediator. The leader. The chief cornerstone. In verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Brethren, if it's not Jesus, it's an imposter. Jesus taught himself, test the spirits. Because there's going to be many imposters out there. Someone teaches Jesus other than what I taught you. But yet, because we follow His lead, because we follow His pattern, we're a cult. I don't get that thinking. It's pride. Humble yourself before the Lord. So, for now we know that we can lay out for others that there is one mediator between God and men. One means one. There's only one name under heaven that man can be saved. Jesus, who is Christ. It is His church, and any others are imposters. He is the head of the church. He is the head of the church, His body, and therefore is His one true church. The only one true church. And it's Christ's church. Turn with me to Isaiah, if you would, in closing. Spent some professional athletes. I'm most familiar with baseball. It's my sport. Many greats in history walked up to the plate and called their shot before the pitch even came. And many times, out the ball went. Jesus called the shot. In Isaiah 9, chapter 6, Isaiah 9, verse 6, I'm getting better at that. I'm still going to do that occasionally. It tells us, what is it, 1,500 years before Christ? 750? A little off. A long time. It was a long time before Jesus was even born. The prophet Isaiah said this, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Verse 7. "There will be no end to his increase. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness, for then on and forevermore." Kingdom of heaven. I'd like to go through more on this study, if I'm given the opportunity, to look more into the character of the church, kind of look at more of that pattern, and what this pattern tells us. If we are the church, we should know how we're to walk. I think that's important too. So please stand with me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so very grateful to you. I pray that you would be with us in the days ahead, that as we continue to train, as warriors in training, that we would take this seriously. That we would take seriously the charge that you have given us. That it's often said, if not us, who? And if not now, when? The time is now. It's high time. And as Brother Luke was mentioning this morning, boy, it sure feels like the day is coming soon when you will return. Let us think about all of those people that we know in full confidence that are not a part of your body yet. They're going to know Christ through us. Let us dwell on these things in the days ahead. Let us dwell on you, Father, on our leader, and all that he has given us. Let us bring glory to his name in all that we do and say, in building up one another to love and good deeds. We thank you for his example, Jesus, who is Christ, and it is in his name that I pray. Amen.